B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Early movement by the left tackle. Tyron Smith, one of the league's best, a six-time Pro Bowler with a full start for Dallas. Swing of the right leg. Kick is driven to the upright, and it's going to be off the left upright. No good. He clanked it off the goalpost.
Welcome to New England, dome team.
The design wall left. And Prescott throws a high jump pass. Out of play, incomplete for a wide-open Randall Cobb.
What a stupid, idiotic play by design. A right-handed quarterback that you're going to force to half-roll left, struggle to get your shoulders set on a wet, rainy day to throw an accurate pass to the flat. Stupid.
He's under pressure. Steps to his left. Throws down the field. Caught by Edelman. Right at the first down marker.
Third and 20. And the morons are in zone again. Oh, Dallas, we love you.
Pocket throws across the middle. It's caught on the crossing route. The catch made by Amari Cooper. Chopped down by Stephon Gilmore.
Holding offense.
It's a big one right there.
The third penalty on Tyron Smith.
Delay game. Offense, 5-yard penalty.
Don't know what are they doing.
Fourth down.
You have no returner, and you let the play clock go out.
Legal motion on the offense.
It was the shift. It was that shift in from the left side. You couldn't have two more stupid plays on a punt. You had a delay game, and you had an illegal shift motioning somebody back in. You have handed New England 10 yards in a 10-6 game in the rain. Teams just come in here and completely lose their mind.
Short kick by Bailey. Bounces to the 25. Right past Pollard, who has to dive on it inside the 15.
It's like Keystone Cops back there. Just so poorly coached. Pollard was lined up a yard deep in the end zone. Jake Bailey's not going to reach the end zone from here.
You stupid or something.
And you showed Garrett. He's clapping. Like, come on, guys. Let's go.
Honestly, as stupid does.
He's gone. Man, I don't care if they win the East.
Where do you want to start with this?
Well, I mean, Jerry said it's special teams. These type of games, right? You lose them on special teams. They tell that coach had their team ready to go special teams-wise. Let's start there. I can't believe that with the conditions the way they were, when New England didn't put a returner back there, hurry up, give me the ball. I'm going to soccer-style sidekick this thing end over end so it just hits and rolls and rolls and rolls. They took a delayed game. They're like, wait a minute, why does New England not have a returner? Something's up here. We already got one blocked. I mean, this is after Slater blocked it. What a play by Slater, too, to block it with the offhand. Because he got moved up the field, blocked a little bit to where he wasn't running directly and straight in front of the punter. But he blocked it from the side. It's a good wherewithal there. But, I mean, and then they shift down inside to where we bring a gunner down after he already took a delay game. And then we go in motion on a punt team. They backed him up 10 yards. Just a little gamesmanship like that. Belichick and Joe Judge, it's probably Belichick, really. Like, you know what? Don't throw the returner out here in this. Let's see what they do. See how they react. Of course, Dallas peed it down their leg. Like something they've never seen before. You know, kicking it off the upright. I mean, but that's tough. That's tough to kick in those conditions. But it all compounds itself when you make error after error. The most egregious one for me is when late in the game, New England's kicking right to left, which means into the face of that wind, that stiff wind and rain. Jake Bailey was never going to reach the goal line, and they had Pollard in the end zone. And the two up guys, as it's kicked and it's pooched, and you can tell it's going to land around the 15, they almost run into each other, and Pollard runs past the ball to where he's got to turn around and go back and get it. That's fireable. That is fireable. Because why? That's a 13-9 game. That's a tight game. The first third down, one of the first third downs of the game, they roll Dak Prescott to his left. You say, well, what's Dak Prescott look like? Yeah, he's pretty good. Right? I mean, he did all the hip things last week when everybody was going nuts about his loose hips, right? The big hip, all that. He didn't get them hips open that time. So why do all that hip stuff? You can't get your hips open. I disagree with the play call. I think it's ridiculous. You'd roll that kid out to his left and make him throw a ball in the flat in front of the bench. It's a tough throw to begin with.
And then he sailed it.
It's hard enough to throw that out against man on a three-step backward drop, yet alone Catch it out of the pistol. Like, why are you operating in a pistol? And what happened on the interception? Oh, you're in the pistol. Quick high snap, almost goes over his head. He grabs it, throws it off the back foot. Put the damn kid under center. Watch Garoppolo last night. How many times you see him in a shotgun? Again, to the point about Brady, handling the ball. Attention to detail. The focus that you put into it, the mental part of the game. Dallas came in and said, we're just going to run our stuff. We're not going to adapt to the weather or the conditions. Oh, why? Because it probably rained in Dallas last week, and we practiced inside the bubble. We had a couple of rainy days in Dallas. Yeah, they're expecting rain. We knew about the rain. Jim was talking about the rain for 4 days. Cowboys didn't care. You know what they do? They go inside their plush facility, turn the heat up to 70. That's fine. Jerry built it. We're going to use that facility. I built it. You use it. They weren't ready for the rain.
No, they weren't.
Quarterback didn't know if he wants a glove, no glove. This glove, that glove. Hurry up. Oh, cover it with a cape so nobody can see I'm putting a glove on.
The dumbest thing, though, I still think at the end of the day, is not going for it on fourth down from the New England 11-yard
line. Fourth and seven.
And you've got 6 minutes to go in the game.
Here's why this is why I didn't crush them, because they screwed it up on the third down.
And
mentally, you should have had two plays ready to go. Pick up 4 yards and then go for it on fourth and three.
Right.
Fourth and seven is tough to pick up.
You don't need to pick it up on third. Just get yourself a little bit closer, and then you go for it on
Zeke
fourth.
Couldn't get you 3 or 4 yards.
Well, if you're looking at it and you're approaching it as a coach who thinks ahead, which the good coaches do, you approach that new set of downs as four down territory is what you do, and you have better plays. They picked up three on first down. It was fine.
Yeah.
They ran the ball. You have better plays on second and seven. You have a better play on third and seven.
How about the ridiculous?
Knowing that you are going for it on fourth and whatever the distance is.
Half roll
if
to
you're
the
in
left.
A fourth down situation, if you're calling better plays that are producing yards, maybe you pick up another first down there.
You didn't like the quarterback rolling left and putting the tight end on the white end line in the back of the end
Jason
zone?
Jason Witten?
That was a fun one.
Oh, no, that wasn't Witten. That was
the 89.
The other guy.
What the hell's his name?
Yeah.
He's forgettable.
Jarwin.
Could you picture?
No, I did not love that play. That was a wasted play.
Those three tight ends didn't want to be in that game. They wanted no contact. They didn't want to get hit. They didn't want the ball. They didn't want anything to do with that game. None of them. That's sad because they got three healthy tight ends. Supposedly tough, right? Not in those conditions. Like to what Jim said, they couldn't wait to get in at halftime.
But that was it. I mean, I looked at that drive and I said, oh boy, Cowboys have something cooking here, especially after the Cobb catch. You thought they could win this game. They were in it.
Where's Mabel?
Plenty of opportunity.
She called us out Friday. Like when she calls at 11, she said 11. And it's already 11.
She's not on the line.
I'm counting the minutes down.
She's not on the line. But
she's got to be sick.
The problem is that when Jerry Jones criticizes his coach after the game last night, it's really hollow and it's really transparent about what a fraud he is. Because he has defended this guy for years.
He'll give him an extension.
He has extended him. He has kept him around. He has made him the head coach for the very reason that he needs this media attention. That is Jerry Jones. He needs to be the guy who's important after the games.
Here's
needs to be the guy in the war room trying to influence the picks and make the picks in some cases. And so, like, stop. Oh, what? So now that you're done with him, now you're going to trash him?
No. Here's your problem. And this has been talked about, too, with Kellen Moore. Guess what Kellen Moore is? He was Jason Garrett. He was a former backup quarterback, this new offensive mind, smart player, that now all of a sudden he became a quarterback coach, now an offensive coordinator. They're saying, and they've talked about this in Dallas, and for you Dallas Cowboy fans, the biggest thing you should fear is Kellen Moore because they think they have the next Jason Garrett there. Tell me how the last 10 years have gone.
The next Jason Garrett?
Yeah.
Who wants the next Jason Garrett?
That guy with the glasses and the pocket square that talks like this said he'd like to see him a little more glory hole. Get back to them days.
Well, based on the play calls down the stretch yesterday, I don't want Kellen Moore as my head coach either. Get the hell out of here with that guy. I'm talking about overrated.
That
offense has all kinds of talent, and the coaching stinks. So
early
Kellen
in the game.
Kellen Moore, you stink too.
Early in the game, they get the ball to Zeke on a couple screens. Zeke went around end, man, and there were some yards to get gained. And they never went back to throwing the ball to Zeke. Like, they took him out of the game. Out of the passing game. And then, when they decided to run the ball, you know what they did? They took Amari Cooper and they put him on the sideline. Stand next to the coordinator there. So we could show New England, when you're on the sideline, we're going to run the ball. Like, another indicator of personnel.
Look at Dak Prescott's stats with and without Amari Cooper in the game over the last 2 years. and they're staggering. So the Patriots, in effect, took him out of the game. And they can't operate their offense without him.
Can't do it. Cobb. And they couldn't go to Cobb after that. Like, they should have tried to focus on
Cobb. Yeah, but they had Beasley last year. They had the same pieces, in essence. They just can't do it. When Cooper's not performing, their offense doesn't run. That guy should get the most money out of all these guys.
617-779-0985. The Cowboys are a stupid team. Here's some good news. We've got a prize to give away next. Yes, passes to a Scotty's Kickoff Kid private event that's happening in the spring. We will give those away coming up next.
Nice.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
As promised, a giveaway for you right now. It's caller 3 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score 4 passes to a Scotty's Kickoff Kid private event this coming spring with kicker Steven Goskowski and Scott Zolak, presented by Scotty's Tissues, the official tissue of the New England Patriots. Caller 3 on the contest line only right now. You will get 4 passes to that private event with Zoe.
Very nice event. It's going to take place this spring.
Yeah. You excited about it?
Very. Like Steve.
You getting Thanksgiving started early?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Do you see this, Artie?
It's good stuff.
You see what we get going over here?
Oh, Thanksgiving mishmash.
By the way, Zoe and I are sitting very close to one another right now.
Not my fault.
This computer
Wait a minute.
Working.
Is that the leftover from Friendsgiving?
Yeah, from
last week.
Thursday.
Oh, yeah, Monday. You're sort of on a leftovers deadline.
Don't we have
Thursday to Monday?
Don't we have lunch today? Don't we have lunch today?
We do.
It's a home game. I don't know if DQ's coming or not. I'm not sure.
Oh, he did. He jumped the date earlier, though. I don't know. Maybe we flip dates. Oh, that's a good idea.
I forgot about that. Is it on the calendar, Jim?
Well, it's a home game.
I know, but that, you know, we've obviously learned that those dates can be swapped around.
Yeah, we learned that fast.
But you've got mashed potatoes?
That is a mashed potato turkey and good cranberry stuff, the gelled stuff.
The gelled cranberry sauce?
Gelled cranberry stuff.
Right out of the can.
A bite?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
And so we have a team of IT and engineers back here trying to fix your issue.
Yeah, they've had a couple nice weeks. You guys doing good? All right.
I'm sure they love being mocked.
Well, I mean, they're at least in a room with a veteran. So, I mean, that's, I got that going for me.
Jimmy, yesterday,
Jimmy, the Coast Guard veteran.
At the game.
Hey, they recognize the Coast Guard.
Zoe and I immediately said to each other, we looked at each other. I tapped him on the shoulder.
During a national
anthem. He was turning around to talk to me. It all happened simultaneously, and we both looked at each other and said, Coast Guard.
All 4 branches of the military, Jimmy, and the Coast Guard.
Jimmy! That's what he did.
Yep. I actually had a very nice man. That's working with one of the local TV stations as an intern.
Oh, yeah?
As a massive fan of the show, knows that we are somewhat disgruntled with our interns, and has hand-delivered his resume to us.
You're kidding me.
For the spring.
I love this guy already.
Kid had a suit on. He's operating his own camera back there. Came down right in the middle of the break, because I know you're on break right here, because I know your whole show. I'll be ready to go to spring.
No, he won't. We're full in the spring.
I don't know. What about the summer?
I don't know. Based on how these last
summer's
weeks are picked.
Summer's open.
He's...
Yeah, he is a little late for the spring. Summer. A little late for the spring.
Really?
Yeah. It's already done. Spring semester starts
in like
a couple
weeks. I liked how
proactive
he was, though.
Charlie's in D.C.
Get a personal intern for you, just yourself.
I should.
Charlie?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, Charlie, go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
Hi! Doing a radio show. How you doing?
What's up? So, you may remember me.
I don't remember you.
Okay, never mind. with the Eagles and Eagles Packers pass interference debacle, I'm an official myself, and I basically said Matt LaFleur can go eat dirt because his coaching sucked. Same thing yesterday. 2 iffy trip calls, but that coaching was so bad, that's on the coaching. But Zolak, like you mentioned Scott Novak.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. He's actually in his first year.
Right.
There's seven of the 17 NFL officiating crews, 7 of them have first or second year crew chiefs.
Correct.
Seven of them.
There's a lot of new guys.
So that answers Zoe's question, though, Charlie.
Yeah, no, so, that's what I think. I mean, yeah. I think aside from some of the bad rules that they have to enforce, I think overall the officiating has been okay considering that. I think just, you know, with time.
Oh, I understand that. I'm just saying, New England, Dallas, I might send Brad Allen to that game.
The league is setting these guys up to fail.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing.
They're making them look bad on the grandest stage. What do you think the viewership was yesterday for that game?
They're setting them up to fail. But that answers your question. Charlie had that great stat there. Seven crews are first or second year guys. Yep. So you want to know how a first year guy ends up with Dallas and New England? Oh, I don't know. Half the crews out there are brand new. That's why.
Stair-Torre's doing games. John Parry's doing games. Mike Pereira's still next to us. He didn't know what the hell to say yesterday.
And the league's got three games on Thursday, so they've got some travel stuff going on, I'm sure, you know, in terms of getting people where they need to be.
I saw Pereira. He's like, we got issues. There's issues.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Here's an idea. Fewer flags will solve your issues. Less emphasis on all these calls you want flags on. Less emphasis on holding.
Don't
Less
call tripping.
Less emphasis on tripping.
Don't call tripping.
Call fewer penalties.
If you see an egregious hold, somebody grabs a jersey or inside of their... You know, inside of their padding like they do. Or hog tie somebody under the call holding. If you see a tug or a grab or it's something incidental, don't call it. Don't call pass interference if you don't see contact. I don't know how the hell he called J.C. Jackson on pass interference.
It's remarkable.
It should have been reviewed.
It's remarkable because I don't know how they came to that conclusion about that play.
And the worst part is I'm watching the late game last night. And San Francisco's beating the hell out of Green Bay. Green Bay's scratching to get back in this game. And Rodgers puts a hell of a throw.
Fraud team.
Hell of a throw on Jimmy Graham. It's a post corner. Such a fraud team. Jimmy Graham catches it. Goes down to the ground. The ball comes out, but he caught it. Took two steps. They called incomplete. They didn't even think of challenging it. But yet, the review guy upstairs with the Sunday night crew said that should have been a catch. Like, they're making the referees look bad on reviews. So they're putting these refs in. None of the refs are agreeing with the call that was taking place.
Here's the good news. Bert Breer told us yesterday pregame that the coaches in the league do not trust Al Riverone, and they do not think he should have his job.
Oh, he feels like he's a snake, right?
They just say he doesn't have a relationship with anyone in the league, and he said part of that job is building trust and building relationships within the league.
And he seems like an angry elf.
And having a open line of communication and figuring out what's best for the league. And he does not have relationships across the league.
Would you ask Dean Blandino to come back?
And so, I said that to Bert. I said, one of the suggestions is throw a pile of cash at Dean Blandino.
Yeah.
Get him back off of Fox and get him back
in. Get him
off
those $50 videos. Yeah.
Right? He was the guy who worked in that sort of department for so long. Mm-hmm. And then he left. He left for a better opportunity, apparently. So if you're the league, does Blandino have relationships across the league? I don't know. He's riding around in Jerry's bus, so I'm guessing he does. I'm guessing he's good at
that
aspect.
You can get on that bus if you'll know him.
I'm guessing he's pretty good at that part, forming relationships and talking to people. So, yeah, I would consider it, because I said to Bert, I said if they want him gone and they're going to push to have him get fired or removed and put into another role, who replaces him? He's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, that's an important question here. You can't just boot one guy and then say, okay, find someone new. Well, who's the new guy?
Right.
Who's that person going to be? But he said that there are even officials on the field who are starting to sort of push back against these PI calls and the way they want it done. Eddie's in Southie. Eddie.
I think the biggest problem is the guys that are making the rules to – the NFL are lawyers, and a lot of the guys that are, hockey league, some of those guys are also lawyers. So when you have...
He doesn't make the rules, though.
But when you have a bunch of lawyers making the rules to the game to,
they don't make the rules, though.
The competition.
But the guys in the front office do.
Well, it's the competition committee, which is mostly coaches.
Right.
So they're actually writing what the rules are into the rule book?
Do you know how many years Belichick tried to make this PAT a competitive play and how to get this backed up off the 2-yard line? Like, the coaches have major input in this.
But it'd be an interesting exercise to look up in the NFL front office how many of these guys are former lawyers. And they're writing these rules to the letter of the law. And everyone that watches football knows the difference between a hold that impacts the play versus a hold that is useless. But how can you trust these guys to know the difference between the two and not call it down the letter of the law?
Well, the problem is they're met with and talked to each and every week because they do review some of the plays. Each team turns in plays that they had issues with. They turn them into the league. The league goes over them. They talk to the refs. And what you end up having is a trend of maybe 3 or 4 weeks where, you know what, guys, we haven't had a tripping call called in a while. You guys should probably look for this a little bit more. Or lowering the head. Or defenseless player. I'm almost shocked that they didn't throw a flag on Heath hitting Jacoby Myers on that bang-bang play because it happened so fast. There's a lot of people thought that wasn't even close helmet-to-helmet when you look at that at review. But in real time, I mean, if you're going to call PI on J.C. Jackson, how do you not throw a flag there on helmet-to-helmet? Defenseless player.
So here are the guys on the competition committee who make the rules in this sport. There are three coaches. There are more coaches than any other type of person on the board. There's two owners, two presidents, two GMs, and then three coaches. So here's a list of guys that are on it. Ron Rivera, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin. They're not lawyers. John Elway, not a lawyer.
Sells car salesman.
Ozzie Newsome, not a lawyer. and then you do have the upper management types. Mark Murphy from the Packers, Stephen Jones from Dallas, John Mara from the Giants, and Rich McKay from Atlanta. That's the committee. Rich McKay, who pumps crowd noise into his stadium, still on the competition committee.
Yeah, that guy.
Unbelievable.
Admitted to it. Yep.
Maybe it's Mara, Jones, or Murphy that are making bad rules somehow, but it's a committee.
Almost sounds like...
And no matter how it's written, you can tell your referees how you want it interpreted and how you want it called. And that's where they are failing miserably.
It sounds like one of the Dan Shaughnessy's Christmas things. The Maras, the Joneses, and the Murphys.
The Maras, the Joneses, the Murphys.
Santa Claus's beard is white. Get me a drink, lady.
Mike is in South Carolina. Nick Folk. Hi, Mike.
What's up, boys? I wanted to ask you, do you guys have any concerns about Folk missing two kicks yesterday? Are we going to just chalk that up? Okay.
None.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Appreciate it.
I actually had him on the good list yesterday.
I think
too.
He had a good game.
He missed two.
He missed two.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. But that, a guy, a field goal kicker goes 2 for 4 on field goals on the good list. Yep. Because that was tough, and that last one, as you called it on the game zone,
I couldn't believe they were going for him. Yeah.
He got backed up 5 yards, right?
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I actually have no issue whatsoever with his day.
Folk, good.
Yes.
A 48-yard try in that weather, I didn't like its chances. I did not like the chances of that one going through, so I don't blame him for that one. I mean, it was not only the heavy rain, it was the wind.
Right.
So from 48 out, I was surprised that they did that, but given, you know, the clock and the fact that it's at the end of a half, that's why you try it. So you do what you got to do there. You're not going to throw a bomb to the end zone. Right, so all right, man, give it a whirl. And then the other one you get backed up on. What was the other one?
They
got backed up on the one before the half.
Yeah, to the end of the lighthouse. That's the more difficult.
The other one was 42 yards. That wasn't easy either. So, no, I thought he kicked the ball well. I don't have any issues with him at all whatsoever. I think it's you look at his day and say, no, good job, Nick Folk. 2 for 4, but given the conditions... Great job. Read and React is coming up next.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's time to read.
Can we all just agree that beating up your son is worse than blowing a little weed? Yes.
And react.
I don't like it from behind. You keep moving, you know. Kind of like it if he was standing there when the guy turned around.
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Notorious B.I.G. He dressed in all white, right?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've never seen the graph or the image they put up when he says Notorious B.A.G. dressed in all white and he's wearing
all black.
But, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
At times. All right, read and react. Are we ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Let's go.
Oh, man, it's a bad one. Yeah, they're starting to burn. I'm sorry.
React.
Suck it up, Susie.
Packers got blew out. Who would pick the Packers in that game?
This guy right here.
Would that screw up a parlay,
it
conceivably?
Might. It might. I told you I didn't like that.
37-8. What did Aaron Rodgers have to say for himself post-game?
We have the makeup to bounce back from these kind of things and put ourselves in a position to potentially come back here and play again.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I don't know.
I won't pick him out there.
I don't know if you do. I mean...
Nope.
Didn't seem like it. Didn't seem like
that. I guess that's the right thing to say, though.
Right.
Yeah.
It's honest.
Didn't seem like at any point that game could have gone either way last night.
No, that was a blowout. Yeah. That was a total rout.
They jumped out to that 10-0 lead, and you just didn't... I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, you never know. You think he could orchestrate a comeback.
It's amazing is they're able to get tight ends open downfield in a three tight end set in a compact formation off play action.
Glad they were able to get the two-point conversion, though. Make it 8 there. That was nice.
Pretty good play design.
Important.
By
Important when you're down 23-0 to get the 2.
Shannon. Well, that's when you just start working on stuff. Apparently.
Not that bad though.
React.
Bills beat the Broncos. Broncos 20-3. Buffalo D lineman got into it with Denver O lineman Connor McGovern, and the TV mics picked it up. So here's what those two were saying to each other. Oh, hold on a second. Let's see if we can. All right, Kevin, I don't know if we can pick out any of this.
I can't make out what he's saying.
What happened?
Jim?
Remember my name? I had two sacks against your ass.
Okay. Oh, very good, Beetle. Very good. Okay.
Yeah. I got two sacks on your ass. You remember me now. You remember me now. That's all I wanted to say to you. No kelp.
I think
what
Buffalo,
does he say at the end?
No what? No kelp.
No kelp?
No kelp.
Well, I mean, he's on a kelp-free diet.
He didn't like that seafood. He didn't like
don't
that
eat seaweed.
Sushi.
He's anti-seafood.
That dried kelp.
That's all I wanted to say to you. No kelp.
No kelp.
No kelp.
What the hell? It's great. They do the bad lip reading thing. We should do the bad audio.
No kelp.
No kelp. I want a clean beach.
You think Buffalo, you just think pure class.
I want you to rake out that sand. No kelp.
That's all I want to say to you. No kelp.
No kelp.
Clean it up.
My kids coming down here, build sandcastles. I don't want all this green stringy stuff laying at their feet. That's right. Get rid of it. I don't want to see it.
No kelp.
Do you know that you put kelp on top of the lobster bakes?
What is that, like help keep the moisture
helps
in?
Yeah. It come back, yeah. Keeps it all in.
I need
holds the heat.
Three.
I haven't seen one Mark Wahlberg movie that is good.
React.
Again, thank you, intern, yesterday for applying.
Steelers beat the Bengals 16-10. They also benched Mason Rudolph in favor of Duck Hodges.
Duck Dodges in the 21st century?
I heard you say this last night, Beetle. Duck Hodges. Duck Hodges going in. All right, Mike Tomlin, is he going to tell us why?
Oh, my God.
Just felt like our offense needed a spark. Mason wasn't doing enough. Duck came in and provided us with a spark, made a couple plays. We'll see what next week holds next week.
So next week holds.
Straight,
wait a minute. Next week holds next week?
Yes.
That whole clip was great until that stupid saying in the end. We'll see what next week holds next week.
We'll see what next week holds next week.
Holes.
But I like the contributions of Duck. I like his readiness. I appreciate the efforts of Mason and also appreciate the support of Mason after we made the change. That's how we get down.
I think that's true for all ducks. How nobody is down. Unhappy to see a duck. A goose is going to poop on your golf
get
course.
Get down.
People say, oh, get rid of get these down, geese. No one ever down. Says that about a duck. Even duck hunters love seeing ducks. I'm going to shoot that duck. Other people just like seeing baby ducks, ducklings.
The contributions of Duck. I like his readiness. I appreciate the efforts.
Yes.
Do you ever watch?
How is that team in the playoffs right now? Seriously.
I don't know.
Defense.
It's unbelievable.
Defense.
That's how we get down.
That's right.
That's how we get down.
Get down. Get down.
Yeah. Right now, they'd be the sixth seed.
It's crazy. But,
I know. They got Duck Hodges playing quarterback. They're down to their third string guy.
I don't hate him. I don't even know him, but that take is terrible.
React.
Wagon. Nice. Wags.
Chris Wagner.
They even get it.
Redskins beat the Lions 19-16. Dwayne Haskins was on the sideline taking selfies when the Redskins offense went out for the final play. There's nowhere to be found.
It's unbelievable.
Interim head coach Bill Callahan, probably pretty upset about that. I would think that that would be unacceptable. Let's hear him rip his quarterback a new one.
At the end of the game, we saw Case Keenum coming out to do the kneel down for the formation. Can you explain like what happened there, why Dwayne wasn't in on that play? TV camera seemed to show him off.
We were looking for him. We were looking for him, too.
Oh, not at all upset. Thought it was funny. Oh, we couldn't find our quarterback.
Yeah. I think he thought the game was over. So, yeah, we'll have to find out. I'll have to find out a little bit more.
Oh.
I know that we called for the new victory formation.
Oh, did you?
And Case came out on the field.
Excellent control on that sideline. And this is the division the Dallas Cowboys are leading.
And that's the team the Lions lost to.
Yeah.
I found out what was being said. It's not no kelp. It's no cap, according to many who have chimed in on the matter.
No what?
No cap, which means like no lie or no bull.
No, that doesn't mean that.
That's exactly what it means. You can look it up for yourself. No cap.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. No kelp. Yeah, there's a thousand right. explanations for no kelp, but no cap?
But I mean, if you have bad hair, you don't want to wear a cap.
All right.
Tweeted many screenshots of the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, Urban Dictionary is all over it. No cap usually means no lie. Someone usually uses this after saying an unbelievable statement or asking a serious question.
I got kids. I mean, are we this not hip? I never heard that.
No cap.
I never heard that before either.
Is that like I?
But what we do know is we do agree with no kelp.
I
don't need that all the way, all over the place.
By the way, Dwayne Haskins.
Like text KK, like, I get it. Okay, send us text and okay, they text KK. My kids do that all the time. Like, this is the new thing all the kids do.
KK?
KK.
Why KK?
No, it's just weird. Instead of okay, it's like KK. Got it.
Careful with that one. Careful with that one.
No, stop it.
All right.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Dwayne Haskins, he explained his absence.
Where were you on the kneel down?
I was so hyped. I think I broke a water bottle. I look up and we're in victory. And I thought the game was over with already. But I get it next time.
Oh, will you? Will you be in there? Boy, would that fly here?
Oh, will you?
Would that fly here?
You think you're going to be in victory formation again? You think you're going to have another chance at doing just that, Dwayne?
Breathe.
What is up, everybody?
It still works. You know what's funny? We make fun of that. And I turn on Kern's podcast with he and Phil Perry the other day, and Kern brings everybody in. What is up, everybody? Oh. It's just Nate's going around saying, that's how you bring people.
Make a man miss.
Make a man miss. Guy make a man miss.
Guy make a man miss.
Guy.
That is right. 617-779-0985. Let's get to something Tom Brady said before the game was even played yesterday with Aaron Andrews. Let's do that coming up next.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Another hot topic the media had a good time with this year. You're basically on a 1-year deal. And I know you want to focus on this season, but it's hard not to look ahead. Could you really envision yourself in a different uniform next year?
I don't think it's hard for me, you know, to be in the present. You know, I do think a lot of people want to make predictions.
Yeah, I want to know.
I know, but I think the reality is there is no prediction. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always said I have a plan to play longer.
Yeah.
And I'll figure that out when the time comes.
Tom Brady with Aaron Andrews, Fox pregame yesterday. There's no prediction. Gonna figure that out when the time comes.
Fact.
That wasn't the question, though. She wasn't asking him to predict where he's gonna play. Can you see yourself playing somewhere else, Tom? And he dodged the question.
It's a hard question to ask when you're in the middle of a season. Yeah. Answer, I mean.
Well, it's uncomfortable. It's not hard to answer. It's uncomfortable to answer. Because you
up.
Know if you say
they
yes.
They can't
it's not hard to answer
me.
No, though.
It's not. It's definitely not hard to say, no, I'm a Patriot. I can't. I've never thought of playing for anybody else. That takes nothing to say that.
You're starting to get tired of answering these questions.
It takes your leverage away, though.
He's choosing not bingo to answer.
He's right down the middle.
Choosing not to answer these
the
questions.
Reason that
which
that
is fine. You don't have to
no franchise tag was bargained in.
But it's going to lead to speculation. It always does.
I mean, they shot it at TB12. Wasn't shot in Gillette Stadium.
What does that mean?
Kind of interesting. When Fox comes in, they're like, hey, we want to meet with this player, that player, and they bring you in a hotel room where you come, you report with the team. Or they do it down in the conference room at Gillette Stadium.
Or like I've seen it, they've done in the visitor's locker room.
Yeah, well,
right? They've set up something in there.
I'll meet with Aaron Andrews, as long as we can do it up at TB12 with the big TB12 thing in the back. It's good advertising. Really good advertising. Two of them on a chair and a massive TB12 logo. That's the next phase.
That's smart. What's wrong with him doing that?
Brilliant. Nothing wrong with that. Different.
Yeah, well, it's different because I think most players don't have a sports rehab clinic within walking distance of the stadium they play in.
Yeah.
I would say the whole setup is a little different.
Yeah.
So maybe it would happen more often if Aaron Rodgers had the
it's nice of the
AR-12 clinic that happened to be a stone's throw from Lambeau Field.
A-Rod.
Like then Aaron Andrews would show up and tape it there at AR-12 at A-Rod Sports Rehab or whatever he's going to call it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's different. No one else has one of these things. He does.
Yeah.
That's all. But the answer, though, just going to take it as it comes. Take it as it comes, and he is a free agent at the end of the year. And he's bitter. He's mad about the offense. He's upset with his young receivers. And then he today said, no, they're doing a good job.
Like, here's the biggest thing.
But then you got boohoo Brady crew member Chris Gasper saying the Brady camp saying he's unhappy.
So obviously, practice. I mean, he's ecstatic to be 10-1. You're the number one seed. That's the first thing you want. But his mind, like, ultimately, they want to be operating
he's ecstatic
at a better,
about it.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, he's shown it in a funny way.
Well, he's looking at it from his vacuum. And what he can control is the offense. He's the leader of the offense. He's the director of the offense. So say they go on, they win, they can keep winning. What changes in the offseason? Who's coming back? So you're still getting Dorsett back. You're getting N'Keal Harry back. Jacoby Myers back. Sanu's here, right? That's why he likes Sanu. That's why he gave up the two to get him. It's a doable contract as opposed to Manny Sanders where the money really goes through the roof next year. Still don't have a tight end. Still got the same backs. Bringing Burkhead back. You know? What changes offensively here next year? It says, boy, yeah, I want to stay here.
Oh, so the offense and its problems
right now
will be reason to leave.
This is what it is. What it is. We've ceilinged it.
What will be different next year?
What are you going to do differently to make me want to come back? If we manage this thing and we win, because that's consideration, right? I mean, biggest thing is Josh is here, right? That's big because you could leave in March and come back in July. See you in July. You go elsewhere. You can't do that. It's your offense. Now you have to implement your offense. You got to be Peyton Manning. What he did when he went to Denver, you're there all night. You sleep at the facility.
Oh, so he'd have to like go to OTAs and minicamp the way most quarterbacks do.
See, I've heard this
too. He'd have to do that again.
What tells you that he'd be successful with a new bunch of guys, a whole new bunch of guys, entirely new bunch of guys?
I'm just telling you, like,
he has so much trouble with new guys coming into his place.
Yeah.
How much would he have if he had to go to another place with a whole new group? Even if the coaching came with him, he'd still have a whole new bunch of guys to throw to.
What if he gets a crappy offensive line coach? I could see him losing his mind after the fourth game. Like, no, there's some way we block this. It's the way I'd call this. You figure this thing out. I mean, everything is set here for him. This is why I laughed when people, like, threw out the Belichick. Remember when they had to report, oh, Belichick's going to go to the Giants. It's turnkey here for him. He's got Nantucket. He's got anything he wants to be on, the owner gives him. He's got his kids on the staff here. You know, the offense runs itself. He's got Josh. He's got Tom. He can coach his kids defensively now. Like, why would he want to leave and start anew or do something different? You know, stuff's turnkey here for both of them. They both need each other to win. They do. They both appreciate the ability of each other to push each other and make each other win. That's the biggest respect they have for each other. So why not keep that rolling?
I can't come up with a reason not to keep it rolling. But there's going to be the monetary aspect, the offense, all of it. I think it's all going to factor in. 617-779-0985. But this much we know. He doesn't want to answer that question. Can he envision himself playing elsewhere?
Yeah, because, I mean, he got the little money bump. I mean, he's going to get paid regardless. But he's not happy even still being paid. Be like, I think it's about, what are you surrounding this with? You know, and I know they drafted a running back. They drafted an offensive lineman. They drafted a receiver. You know, last three number one picks are all offense to help. Who's your tight end? Who's your backs? Who's your other receiver next year? What's Edelman look like, 33? You know, all that stuff. It's stuff he's got to think about.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.